Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere.
Hello out there in podcast land. Welcome. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, the Messenger Edition, with co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. This is Nurse Carmen. We thank you for tuning in. And next we will hear from the Messenger. We're having a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and once again, welcome to a conversation. We're talking tonight. I'm going to change up a little bit, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to just bring up a topic and give us a little understanding on it, and then we're going to close out in discussion to see if we can touch and agree on what is being said and what we can do to help make this world be a better world. Throughout my daily travels here and there, we're always talking about the young people, how they have kind of like lost their minds. We say they've gone buck wild, and we're saying all of this and that about the young people. But what we don't understand is, do you all remember that saying, if you can't beat them, join them? And so what has happened is the young people have joined in on our behaviors. If they are violent, it is because we are violent. And what I'm breaking it down to is actually even parenting. So if they are materialistic, it's because you are materialistic. If they are acting crazy, it's because you are acting crazy. If they are using sex manipulative, irresponsibly, shameful, it's because they see you doing the same. The only difference between young people and older people is that young people do what they do out in the open. Older people hide their behaviors. Older people think that young people cannot see. Yet young people see everything. Nothing is hidden from them. They see the hypocrisy of their parents, and they try desperately to change it. Yet having tried and failed, they see no choice but to imitate it. In this, they are wrong, yet they have never been taught differently. They have not been allowed to critically analyze what their elders have been doing. They have only been allowed to memorize it. And what you memorize, you memorialize. So what we say then is, so how should we educate our young? First, we have to treat them as spirits. They are spirits entering a physical body. Now, this is not an easy thing for a spirit to do. Not an easy thing for a spirit to get used to. It is very confining, very limiting. So the child will cry out suddenly, being so limited. Hear this cry, understand it, and give your child as much of a sense of unlimitedness as you possibly can. Next, introduce them to the world you have created with gentleness and care. be careful. That is to say, be careful of what you put into their memory storage units. Children remember everything they see, everything they experience. Why do you spank your child the moment they exit the womb? Do you really imagine this is the only way to get their engines going? Why do you take your babies away from their mother's minutes after they have been separated from the only life form they have known in all of their present existence? Will not the measuring and the weighing and the prodding and the poking wait for just a moment while the newly born experience the safety and comfort of that which has given it life? Why do you allow some of the earliest images to which your child is exposed to be images of violence? Who told you this was good for your children? And why do you hide images of love? Why do you teach your children to be ashamed and embarrassed of their own bodies and their functions by shielding your body from them and telling them not to ever touch themselves in ways which pleasure them? What message do you send them about pleasure and what lessons about their body? Why do you place your children in school where competition is allowed and encouraged, where being the best and learning the most is rewarded, where performance is graded and moving at one's own pace is barely tolerated? What does your child understand from this? Why do you teach your children of movement and music and the joy of art? I'm sorry, why not teach your children of movement and music and the joy of art and the mysteries of fairy tales and the wonders of life? Why do you not bring out what is naturally found in the child rather than seek to put in what is unnatural to the child? Why do you not allow your young ones to learn logic and critical thinking and problem solving and creation, using the tools of your own institutes and their deepest inner knowing rather than the rules and the memorized system and conclusion of society, which has already proven itself to be wholly unable to evolve by the methods, yet we continue to use them? Finally, teach concepts, not subjects. Devise a new curriculum and build it around three core concepts: awareness, honesty, and responsibility. Teach your children these concepts from the earliest age. Have them run through the curriculum until the final day. Base your entire education model upon them. Birth all instructions deep within them. It means everything you teach will come from within these concepts. So I just wanted just to say that little part, and I want to open it up for discussion for us, because as we look around, there's a lot of stuff going on that we're blaming the young people for. And I think it's time that we accept some of the responsibility. And as they say, when you know better, hopefully you can do better. So just think about the things that was just said, and this is how we bring a new spirit into the world. And then we wonder why things are the way they are, why they believe Noah had to build an ark because God destroyed it, why they believe that God destroyed the world, why they believe that there is a heaven or a hell. This is why they believe it, because these are the things in which we are teaching them. And I've had many conversations with many people, even myself and my brothers. We talk about things that we were brought up to remember or brought up to hold to be true. But as we begin to consciously be aware of what's going on around us, we see those to be not true. So I say to you, how many of us know of people that are still subconsciously not awakened? And so if they're not awakened, then that the chances of their child being awakened is very limited. I'm not saying that it can't happen, but the odds are against them. So I just wanted to share that. Now I want to open up and let us begin to just expound on some of the things in which we as adults or we in our child state have come to learn or come to know because of things that were taught to us because no one knew any different. Or this is what it was, and this is what it had to be regardless. And now today we find that it's just not so.
I'm sorry, what was that question again, my brother?
No, the question, we just want to talk about some of the, I guess I would just for the sake of being polite tonight, say myths, but truthfully, just the lies that have been told to us.
Well, let's talk about the lie that's been told to us about, as my late mother-in-law used to call him, job. Let's talk about Job. let's talk about how we have such a loving and caring God that he would allow, he authorized the devil, for lack of a better phrase, or some other spirit. He authorized a spirit to touch and destroy you, that the spirit can do anything they wanted to do to you as long as they didn't touch you, to see if you would rebuke his name. So in other words, I'm not satisfied with your love. I have to test you. And by testing you, I'm going to take all your loved ones and take all your property just to see if you're going to still praise me. Now, again, when I read it as a toddler or as a young adult, it made sense to me about testing someone's love. But then as I look at it, what kind of God needs to test us? If I built the robot, I don't need to test that robot. I know what that robot does because I built it. So when I think of that story, I think about how motivating it used to be to me, but now how it just don't make sense at all that I'm going to follow a God that every once in a while is going to allow. Now, again, let's be clear. He's going to allow not some things happen to you. These are some things that the evildoer went to God and said, listen, let me do this. And God said, yeah, I'm going to see if he'll talk back to me. I mean, when you think about that, and I'm breaking it down, to a real digestible a bit. But when you think about that, how can you possibly follow that? How can that possibly be true?
That's a good example to use, my brother, because and just as you say it, and I know as you say it because I listen to it, I'm sitting here grinning because to think for so long, this is something that we honestly believed. But what is being missing here is you can't say that in the first place that God gave you free will.
Right.
You can't say he gave you free will and then turned around and told you you can't do something. Because if you did it, it was going to separate you from him. You can't do that. That just doesn't make sense. The only way that makes sense is if you follow some theology, some religion. That's the only way it can make sense if you're going to follow behind some story that someone made up. And then they're trying to say that the devil has just as much power as God. How can you have more power than the actual creator? How can that be?
can't.
But yeah, but yeah, we sit here time and time again and go over these things. Sometimes I just sit back and I think about them, and I think about the things that we have allowed to enter into our limited memory bank of the mind. And we allow that information, which we know to be wrong, to rule and guide us. I mean, it's a beautiful story about the ark. But we know that that's some fairy tale stuff. And that's not to say that somebody didn't build an ark. But I can assure you that ark wasn't built because God was destroying the world. Because truth be told now, if we're talking about God and he wanted to destroy the world and he wanted Noah and his people to stay behind, he had to create a flood. Couldn't God just said, be gone?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So, and from what I hear, it took Noah, what, about 50 years to build the ark?
Right.
So one thing we got to say, God is patient, right?
That's for sure.
50 years to build an ark when all he had to do is just say a word.
And it shall
he
be
did
done.
Create
right.
This.
That's right.
But he took what they describe as a drunkard. He took a drunk and had him create an ark. Who's not to say that alcohol made him create the ark? He had nothing else to do. Every day he'd get him a bottle and he'd just add a little bit more on and a little bit more on. And I'm
you
not saying
it might
that
not be the voice of God.
Right, yes. But we hold this to be evident that God is at work. We hold this to be evident that God destroyed the world. God took two of each animal and put it on an ark. Two. But see, this is so that the theology of man and woman can come into play. This is why this story has relevance to a lot of people, because it's showing how God had the man and the woman, the male and the female. But one of the things we don't understand is, for one, the sexual experience was not given to us for recreation. The sexual experience was given to us for enjoyment, for pleasure.
See, now you got some people opening their eyes, because that's not the teaching. Nowhere will you find teachings that sex was for anything other than but for procreation, recreation.
And right. And that's just not so. That can be the result, but that's not what it was for. And I mean, and you know, just think about this now. I know I'm going a little deep here, y'all, but think about it. That pleasure, you can get on your own. It's not 100% the same, but you can get it on your own. And what I mean by that is you can pleasure yourself and not create. So if that pleasure or that feeling was designed for recreation, then you wouldn't be able to have that feeling on your own. because you would need that other for the recreation. But because we've made that such a dirty thing, it's just amazing how we can take anything of love, per se, including the human body, and make it disgusting. But we could take an AR-47 or AK-47 and make it a beautiful thing. We can go to the movies and we can see 157 kills, but we can't see Caligula,
mm-hmm.
Part 2. Do you understand? So with the things in which are natural to us, we reject it, and we go to the other things which are unnatural to us. Love is a natural thing. This body is a natural thing, which is created and given to us by God. But we hide it. Excuse me. But we hide it. We hide it. Why? Because we've been told, thank you, we've been told that it's not right. We get up in the morning, and the first thing we do is cover our bodies. And a lot of times, there are some that cover their bodies with a weapon. As soon as they put their clothes on, they're putting their weapons and stuff on. So it's just amazing how easy it is for us to accept the things that are unnatural to us as opposed to the things that are natural to us. And for us to be loving, kind people is a natural part of us. We come from nothing but love. It is that love that allows us to have free choice. It is that love that allows us to go out each day and create and be the best person that we choose to be. Because I don't think anybody, even a bank robber, wants to be the best bank robber he can be. And as bat crazy it may sound, the murderers, those mass murderers, they want to be the best. But they have that free will. And as we've spoken about so many other times before, we do understand that free will, there is some consequences. But it's not a punishment from God from what you did, because God does not care one way or the other. This is why he gave you the free will. To do as you please, to do what is best for you. Because what's really going on is you are an example of God. When you are being the best that you can be, that is how you honor God. All of that running around, shouting and all that stuff, that's not praising God. Praising God, God gets the joy when he sees you striving to be the best that you can be with whatever it is that you're trying to be. It's about the experience, because of who you are, you already know. But now, because you know, now you have to be able to experience it to truly know. You could know 1 and 1 is 2, but in 2 you have to count them 2 quarters or them $2 to really realize that 2 is 2, then 2 and 2 means nothing to you. Well, let me change that. Until you realize that one car and another car makes 2 cars. Now I got 2 cars. So 2 now means something because you were able to experience it. But just walking around here talking about 1 and 1 is 2, what did that mean to you? Technically, when you were in the kindergarten, per se, and you were learning 1 and 1 is 2, it really didn't mean nothing to us, did it?
Nope.
It didn't mean anything until they gave you some allowance, and then you had two coins. Then you understood better the two and two, the one and one. It's about the experience. And as a spiritual being, you are in this body to experience life to its fullest, to make it the best that it can be for you. And so these are some of the things that we've got to focus more on. And not in a selfish way, but you have to understand it is about you. And with the marriage thing, you got to understand this too. It is not about what is best for your significant other. It really isn't. It's about what is best for you. And what is best for you in turn becomes what's best for them. But it's about what's best for you. This is why so many so-called marriages fail. Because one person is trying to please the other person, and they're not happy. And the other person is not being pleased exactly the way they want, and they're not happy. But if I can be the best I can be as far as happy, per se, then I've got joy to spread. Because I'm happy, I don't want my significant other not to be happy. So I have no choice but to give her some of this happiness that I have. But if I'm too busy trying to make my significant other happy, and in the meantime I'm being sad or deprived of it, how long will that last? And so, I say this to you, and I say this to you as a man that has never been married before. And as they said in Malcolm X, these words are not my words. So please believe that, all right? Please understand that there is a bigger picture. There is more to life than what it is that we are looking at. It's more to it. God, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And when they say the earth is the Lord's, that is yours as well, because you are part of it, part of her, part of it. You are a part of it. In the beginning, you were there. I thank you. I hope something was said tonight that would resonate within the inside of us, that will bring some enlightenment to us so that we can begin to awaken even further, so that we can be enlightened, so that we can let our light so shine that people can see. That people can see that there is a difference, that there is another way. And I can't say better, because better is a selective term, but there is another way.
Amen.
My brother co-producer, this is your time to do what you do.
Thank you, Messenger.
Thank
and
you.
Always, we enjoy the message coming from the Messenger tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the message is very simple, man. Let's open our eyes and let's understand that we have way more power and authority than we tend to realize. And if we focus on it, you know, a little meditation and focus on the inner you, you're going to find the better you. And when you find the better you, you're going to hold on to that you and live that you every day. Again, God came and gave us a piece of his spirit so that he may experience life through each and every one of us. Let us be obedient by just simply living your life. Understand that, again, you are heir to the throne. In fact, you are the throne. Pieces of you, remnants of you, are from he or it, which makes everything possible. So let's come into the knowledge that we are godly people And when we come into that knowledge, we will act as gods, and in return, treat our fellow brethren with love and respect. Hey, this is a co-producer from Hodge to Hodge on Blog Talk Radio saying, good night, everyone, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Good night.
Well, we'll talk to you on Sunday. Have a nice evening. Good night.
Good night. Good night.